So I've been... Why do I start every sentence with so? I've been going to the gym recently, and honestly, I don't mind leg day at the gym. It's just the 2 days after that I can't stand. Every podcaster has a unique path that they take to shape their shows.
I thought you were doing a vocal warm-up. Every podcaster
I'm reading has... from the script badly. But it's true. We all have our own unique way of getting into podcasting. When I started out in my first podcast, it was about something I was very passionate about, which was hypnosis. I hadn't done it for a while, been out of practice, and I thought, let me learn how other people are doing it, and I can learn from their experiences. And that led me on this unique journey, and look where we are today, sitting in a fantastic studio here at Ultimate Media, a professional podcasting studio with professional mics, and we're doing a professionally sort of produced podcast, aren't we?
Yeah, and this is something we talk about with every single client we work with, is the goals of the podcast, right? Like, why are you even doing it in the first place?
And once you know why you're doing it, how will you know that it's been a success?
Because there's so many different ways to measure that. And I think a lot of people assume that audience growth is the whole metric. And I think there's a lot more to that, as we'll discover with some of the people we've spoken to.
So in this episode, we are exploring why the people we have interviewed so far went into podcasting and what they want to get from it. Not so.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe what we can do is start with ourselves. Like, why did we do this in the first place?
Why are we doing this podcast series?
Specifically, this exact one. I think it'll be interesting for people to understand what the point is and what does this bring to our company, because that's really why we're doing it.
So this is really one great big advertisement, isn't it? It's also an example. So on the one hand, we want to sell books. The book is called Become a Podmaster, Everything You Want to Know to Master the Art of Podcasting, available on our website, on Amazon.com, everywhere where you buy books online. It's also extra bonus material, resource material for the clients that we have who are in the process of starting their own podcasts.
Yeah, we think that there's a huge amount of really interesting insights that people have given in the episodes that we've recorded. And like right now, we have a student who's busy working through the podcast, reading the book before he starts the Podmaster program. So he has like a fully rounded idea of what other people are doing, so that by the time he wants to start his own show, he knows kind of where to begin. Right. So, yeah, it is a resource.
And it's also a way to tell people to come and, you know, if you want to start a podcast, come to us. We can help you to do it.
Because we can show you our expertise and not just tell you our expertise.
Indeed. Show and tell. There are different metrics that people use, like you said earlier, to define their success. Some people look at the download numbers. Others look for feedback from their audience. You know, how many comments do they get on Facebook, for instance? How many questions do they get? How many calls do they get to buy whatever products they have for sale?
Yeah, I think the big thing here is what's going to keep you going? Because we do preach that a podcast doesn't have to be a weekly thing. You can do a shorter podcast. But ultimately, a podcast does kind of have to be long-term in some capacity. Either you have to market it in the long term, or people will be listening to it for a couple of years from now. So what's the thing that's going to keep you going? And I think having a very clear goal and measurement for success will really help you stay motivated to keep pushing through when you have three people listening to your show initially and you're not really getting the results, but you know what you're working towards. So I think that's also what we're going to explore, is like, what is it that drives people to actually do this and to stick with it?
I think that's also an important point is, you know, people start doing one thing and then they feel stuck in doing the same thing over and over again and they get bored and then they give up. And some people get to that point and instead of giving up, they pivot. They change track. They go into something different topic-wise or genre-wise or format-wise to keep the interest going. So for me, also, it's about more longer-term planning. We emphasize this a lot in our Podmaster Startup Program where we help new podcasters get going is, how do you plan this thing so it becomes sustainable? Are you going to do it weekly, bi-weekly, once a month? Or are you going to do short seasons, you know, two seasons a year or whatever? you know, most people that we work with, certainly our business people, coaches, those sort of entrepreneurs who have full-time occupations. They work for a living and they can't afford to become full-time podcasters. That's not why they're here. And so how do you plan it in such a way that it becomes more bite-sized, more manageable? You can spend 2 weeks, do it, get it out of the way, and then roll it out and ride on it for the next 2 years. So they say podcasting is for a younger audience, isn't it? It's the new medium for the new generation. And interestingly, Sam Mitchell was introduced to podcasting while he was still in school and started out as a young podcaster. And obviously, he's learned a lot over the years. So let's check in with Sam. His podcast is called Autism Rocks and Rolls.
My name is Sam Mitchell, and I run the podcast Autism Rocks and Rolls. It started when I joined my high school's media club, and I loved it so much. And I never heard of a podcast until then. So when I found out about the podcast, it clicked with me so much that I figured I couldn't do my high school's media club podcast forever. So the only way I knew to continue my media skills was to start my own. And that was when Autism Rocks and Rolls was born.
What I really loved about my chat with Sam is that this is a true passion for him. This is not about making $1 million. This is not some kind of a shortcut to success. He is so truly passionate about the topics that he speaks about and about the people that he speaks to that ultimately, I believe he'll keep going for as long as he can because he's got so much to say.
Sam was also saying about the purpose of his podcast.
It brings purpose, the fact that you get to share certain stories that I either didn't say because you had to be there to understand it, or maybe you just don't understand it all because it's something you take for granted.
We met Apiwe in the first episode or one of the episodes. Apiwe is one of our guests in this series.
Hi, I am Apiwe Mame. I am the producer and host for Digify Africa Unplugged Conversations. So when we were creating this podcast, we were really answering or sort of speaking to the question around what kind of conversations are we having about 4IR. I think since 2016 in South Africa, there was that big conversation around, you know, the fourth industrial revolution and what really that meant. And so we wanted to investigate beyond policy and beyond the broader conversation insofar as our public discourse. What does 4IR mean for an everyday person? How does it impact the way we navigated life and our lived experiences? And so we really wanted to investigate what are the implications on your everyday life. And so that's why we look at concepts like, you know, digital education, digital marketing, you know, access and what does it mean using an app when you're living in a remote area in the Eastern Cape? Is it accessible? What kind of infrastructure is in those, you know, areas? And so really for us, it was about, you know, tapping into those kind of conversations, answering certain questions, and also trying to raise awareness around the existence of the digital economy and also expanding it to the rest of the continent. Because I think often when we are looking at such, you know, concepts in the country, specifically South Africa, we tend to have a very insular approach to those kind of conversations. I was also really interested in what is happening across the continent and how are people responding to the emerging technologies and what does that mean, right? And so when we say that Kenya is the African Silicon Valley, what does that mean, right? So do they have different issues when it comes to internet access? And yes, they do. So again, we got to sort of highlight and provide insight in terms of how different countries on the continent are responding to 4IR.
Podcasting can also be a good way to give people career advice and guidance. You know, young people these days, there are so many jobs that when I grew up didn't even exist. We didn't even think about them. I think that's an interesting avenue to explore also in a podcast is, you know, say, for instance, people want to go into the consulting field. You can listen to a lot of podcasts and hear what other people are doing and get into it that way.
Yeah, because I think one of the amazing things about podcasts is the kinds of conversations that you get to be like a fly on the wall of. And it's exactly as you say, if you're trying to enter an industry, there is nothing better than to actually listen to two people in that industry have a proper in-depth discussion on it. I mean, one of the podcasts that I started back in the day, which had two whole episodes, it's called The New Musician Podcast. And the whole point of it for me was to like interview people and have them tell me how to become a musician.
You succeeded in two episodes and got everything you needed, of course.
Yeah, no, I'm a multi-Grammy award winning. But it did really give me some real insights about things that honestly, I would never have considered about how to actually get gigs, how to actually break in. The advice I got from the interviews I recorded on that podcast was like invaluable. So yeah, definitely a super valuable tool for new career beginners, new people in the industry.
I spoke to Mariette. She's very interesting. She's a journalist. She works at a magazine. And her podcast is linked to the magazine and her wellness platform.
Hi, I'm Mariette Snamer. My podcast series is called Calm, Clear and Helpful. I must mention that the whole idea behind my platform is not only to offer solid information, but also to introduce readers and listeners. I've got readers too, since I've got articles as well, to introduce them to wellness experts. That's actually the whole aim behind my platform, because when I was a journalist, people would often ask me, which therapist would you recommend or which coach can I go to? And so I found that there's a gap. People need to get to know wellness experts so they can speak to one that resonates with them. And the interesting thing was, because my podcast series went live in 2021, online therapy and coaching and other sort of wellness work had just come into vogue, which was a lucky coincidence, I suppose. So to get back to the editing process, I take a lot of trouble with editing. I want it to be an easy listen. Very often the content, I wouldn't say it's complicated, but it consists of concepts. So it must be easy to listen to. And I take a lot of trouble with editing to make it an easy listen.
What is important to note here with Mariette is that, you know, she's got the magazine, it's all about wellness and so on, but the podcast extends her reach, extends her platform, extends her voice. So it's an extension of what something that she's already doing. And I think that's an interesting point to take up. If you have written a book, for instance, a self-help book, How to Become a Podmaster, it might be interesting to do a series of podcasts on how to become a podmaster and delve into some of the topics that you covered into the book, as we are doing right now.
Because basically what it does, and in terms of the goals, is that it's giving my audience extra resources, right? It's giving my audience extra information and utilizing the strength of podcasting to convey the kinds of things that you can't easily convey via text, that you can't easily convey in an infographic. There's no way to quickly summarize a half an hour long discussion, you know? You just kind of have to be there for it. So I like your point of the goal of her podcast is to extend what she's already doing, amplify.
And now the inverse is also true. I've written a book, or we're doing the podcast, and most probably at the end of season two, we'll have enough material from all these interviews we've done to do a second book, you know, about people's practical experiences of doing podcasting. So it's that whole repurposing thing we were also talking about.
I'm Kenny Archer, and we've got a podcast that we call Weekly Chat with Kenny. Obviously, everybody wants to do well. End of the day, and I say it quite often, as long as people are pitching up on a Friday morning, the podcast will keep going. There's no ambition to make it go into the top 10 or the top 100 or the top 20. I'm not really worried about that, as long as there's still downloads happening every week and as long as people are still showing up, I'll carry on doing it. It's in my diary for the rest of my life, as long as for till infinity. Yes, every now and again, we do look at it and go, okay, well, we meet once a month and we kind of going to talk about topics and we do look at the numbers. And as long as it's remaining constant, I'm happy and comfortable with it. So if it one day grows and does get to the top 10, well, then bonus. If it doesn't, it's okay. As long as people are still getting the value out of it. And the measurement for that is, well, they keep turning up. They keep downloading.
What I find interesting about Coach Kenny's podcast is that his goals are really exclusively about serving his audience. He has no interest in getting lots of listeners. He has no interest in growing this massively. What he wants is to create a space for his coaching group to be able to have interesting discussions and for then the people who won't be able to listen, weren't able to be there for the discussion, to go back and listen to it. And if that happens, he's happy.
So I think the point here is that quality trumps quantity. If you have good quality, it doesn't matter how many listeners you have, the ones that you do have will really benefit from it. It's that thing, if I've reached one person, I've done my job. Isn't that so?
Because this is truly altruism for him. This has got nothing to do with him growing his company. It's got nothing to do with anything other than I want to give back.
Nicole is probably, now we're talking about Nicole Engelbrecht, who's got a true crime podcast. She's one of the biggest podcasters in this country.
Yeah, no, True Crime South Africa is genuinely a monolith of our industry. And she's like genuinely blazing the trail for the rest of the South African podcast industry to catch up with her. Nicole's awesome.
So when I spoke to Nicole, I mean, yes, download numbers are important for her. But what is even more important is to get discussions going with her audience. And the depth of engagement that she gets through the various platforms that she's on really, you know, really takes this to another level. She gets conversations going and she reaches out to people who are in similar predicaments. Because what she said to me is her podcast really focuses on the victim and not on the perpetrator. She doesn't want to glorify the perpetrator. She wants to tell the story from the victim's perspective. And a lot of people who find themselves in kind of similar situations where they can start seeing the warning signs would have discussions with her. And, you know, she would put them in touch with the right people as well if they're in real danger, like a safe house or somebody to talk to, a counselor or so on. Bertolt Brecht predicted this in the 30s already. Bertolt Brecht being, of course, a very famous German playwright and actor. And he said, radio will only truly become effective when it becomes two-way communication.
Hi, I'm Nicole Engelbrecht. I am the creator and host of the True Crime South Africa podcast. Unfortunately, it takes up quite a bit of my day at the moment. It's sort of ongoing. I mean, I've got all the platforms on my phone. So I'll check in 3-4 times a day and respond to comments. It takes up a lot of my time. And at some point, I will need to have someone, you know, helping me with that. But I think that I will always keep a personal presence. But, as it grows, it becomes quite significant. And then you get people that will start emailing you as well and, you know, DMing you. And that's another thing as well. You know, in the beginning, it's always exciting to start getting DMs from your listeners. And I still appreciate that, but it can become overwhelming. So also, you know, when you're picking your media platforms, maybe keep your DMs either to one platform or ask people just to email you, because that can become overwhelming very quickly.
So for, every time so, I don't know, do you have these vocal hooks? Ethan and I always start our sentences with so.
I've been trying so hard not to say absolutely every time you say anything.
100%.
I think it's a bit of both. I mean, obviously you want downloads. Obviously you want, you know, to rank. You want people to listen to the episodes and for it to be helpful. You know, when I get feedback that like, oh my God, that episode was super helpful, this is my takeaway. Or when you do see a review, it feels good, right? That you're helping someone. You know, I wish back when I began my podcast that I maybe listened to a bunch more and probably would have tuned into a few of those tips for my own podcast a little bit quicker. But, and you want your podcast to succeed. You also want to grow your business through it and, you know, get leads, and you want, you know, people to listen to it on your website. You want that traffic to your website. You want comments on your social media posts that relate to your podcast. So the numbers are, they're valuable and they're important. You don't want crickets and, you know, for no one to know the show exists. But again, it's kind of like, where are you going to spend or invest your time and money? Are you going to do Facebook ads to get more listenership, to get more leads, or affiliate sales if you, you know, have commercials or affiliate money coming in? Or do you want to focus on those relationships, creating collaborations, partnerships, referrals to generate sales? So it kind of, you can still benefit from all the different things, but it's where are you focusing your time and your energy, I think.
I think it's much the same for Lindsay as well. She also depends on numbers and also on feedback. So I think that's an interesting combination of things, is not just the numbers, but also to have positive feedback and reviews. So you can actually see that your podcast is having an impact.
Yeah, I think impact is incredibly important to most podcasters, especially podcasters that have like a message that they want to get out there or a group that they want to help. I think in terms of motivation, and it's exactly the same with Lindsay, that feedback to see there's actually real people on the other side getting real value from you is an incredible motivator and really helps you keep going.
And also for her, it's a sense of personal satisfaction because she's got an emotional connection with her podcast. And it's what we said earlier. If you don't enjoy doing it, if you're not emotionally involved in it, then why the hell do it in the first place? So we were talking listener numbers and engagement, and Diogen also emphasizes that measuring success has to do with how engaged the audience is rather than how many of them are listening. I mean, you can have 2 million people listening to the first 5 seconds and tune out, or you can have 10 that are really, really engaged, which is the more valuable.
Hi, my name is Diogen Tirandekura, and I am the podcast host of Consulting Lifestyle. I am also a digital transformation consultant, and I own the company called ERP Happy. So the success, I measure it both in engagement, and but engagement, I think, is the most important part, but also in the downloads. But the downloads, you know, in a podcast, it's a difficult metric in the sense that if I listen to 2 seconds, it's a download. If I listen to the whole episode, it's one download as well. So,
podcast metrics really are so hard to track, though. It's
I was
crazy.
Reading an article the other day. If it depends which platform it's on, if it's Apple or, you know, they all have their own metrics. But some measure, even if you just download the episode and never listen to it, it counts as a download. It counts as a listen. If you listen to 2 seconds of it, it counts as a full listen. That's so interesting. Like, can we trust these numbers?
People engaging and giving you feedback is so much more useful than just raw data because, you know, you can actually trust the feedback. Speaking of engagement, Nicole also spoke about the fact that audience engagement is a really important thing for her to track. And in fact, you can potentially even use this engagement to start figuring out what kind of content to focus on in future. If you get a huge response, not just in download numbers, but in people actually telling you how much they loved it or giving you insights on it, you might think, okay, maybe this kind of story is something I should be focusing on.
But now podcasting is not just something that happens out there in the ether. There's actually people at the other end listening to it. And if you're a clever podcaster, if you are really taking this seriously, you will start building a community. There's a movie, is it on Prime or somewhere, about it's called The Podcast Movie. It was done in 2016 or somewhere like that. And it tells a story of some podcast in the US who had people from all over the world listening. And then there was that tsunami in Japan and how that whole community came together to help one of the listeners who was in Japan, who reached out and said, listen, I'm stuck here in my little house. There's water everywhere. I don't know what to do. I just want to tell you about this. And she got help from around the world and how these people eventually traveled to the US, met up, and there was tears of joy. There were friendships. They'd never met each other, but it was through the content of the podcast they were listening to that they were bound together in a community. So I think it's really important that when you start a podcast, you don't just think about your content and yourself and your numbers, but you think about the actual real people on the other side listening to this who might be diverse from around the world, different cultures, different languages, but they all have one thing in common, and that's that they are engaging with your content. And therefore, you can use that to your advantage.
One of the things we preach about constantly, it feels like, is repurposing content. And now I specifically want to talk to the business podcasters, the people who want to start a podcast so that they can create content for their social media feeds and their website. A podcast is an incredible tool to get a huge amount of content in various formats. And it's as simple as recording an incredible episode of your podcast, transcribing it, and then taking that transcript and repurposing it across various formats. This could be blog articles, infographics, video snippets. And then the podcast kind of becomes like the well from which all your other content springs, where you get to have your voice and, you know, have these discussions and make this interesting content. But then if you have a team on board or even just are very clever with AI tools, you can create a gigantic amount of content for all your different platforms.
Steve Ramona talks about this.
My name's Steve Ramona. I'm in Northern California. My podcast is Doing Business with a Servant's Heart. I'm starting to learn the clips, or I'm going to hire somebody, but that's the next goal. Do some shorts, throw some Instagram. People ask me for some reels on Instagram and maybe TikTok. I'm not a big fan of TikTok. I know a lot of people are, but LinkedIn's my big play because that's where my referrals come from and my big audience is. I think repurposing, that's the whole goal. And here's the other thing. I tell my guests to repurpose it because they can repurpose it themselves. It's free. There's no copyright on this. Because remember, when you do a podcast and they're promoting it, you're getting promoted. So they have a free will. You know, they're just cutting it up and I see them once in a while pop up and it's fantastic. I learned about a month ago, it just came to me as I tell all my guests, go, now I have 142, I've got a lot of people. I said, that's my network. Go through all my shows. And if somebody resonates with you, reach out to them. Sam, hey, I listened to you on Steve's podcast. I'd love to connect and talk more, see how we can work together. So that's another repurpose. I don't know if I invented it. I've never heard anybody do it, but that is such a cool way to build a network. Again, giving. I'm always thinking about ways, how can I give back to my guests? And that's a great way. So I've had guests, you know, collaborate together and do some business together.
Steve's collaborative approach to repurposing is really interesting in that he encourages his guests to repurpose the content also for their benefit. So it's not just him repurposing. He's telling them, look, here's the podcast. Go and do something with it. Let the world read your articles based on this and you know, the books you write on it or the movies you make because of it. So that also brings us back to that idea of community. It's not just you in isolation. Your guests are part of your community. Their community is part of your community. And so you can really reach out. In the same way, Kenny does repurposing specifically into text.
We do use bits and pieces from it, but we would put it into text stuff. We wouldn't actually use the actual sound out from it. And I think the reason for that is we want to keep it clean, a safe space. We don't want people to feel that, you know, we're just taking material out of it and that it's a safe space for people. It's got nothing to do with the rest of the business. So unless we're trying to drive people to join the weekly chat, then we won't use any of it. If we are, we'll then say, here's a text from it, people's comments about why they stay on the weekly chat or why they keep coming back. So what's actually said in the session, no, we won't take it out and put it out to the world.
The other interesting thing is, you know, in the old days, we used to have these little sound bites that we used to take and you put it in some little program and it makes this waveform.
The audiogram.
But the audiogram is dead, isn't it?
I think it is. I think nowadays people have realized that a little picture with a little squiggly line doesn't really keep people's attention that much. So the modern trend is to do video podcasting if you do want visual content and if you have the budget and the perhaps the know-how is to do like an animated kind of piece of video. But yeah, I think people have kind of moved beyond just a little squiggly line for their video snippets. But video snippets are still super, super
important. And audio snippets too. If you strategically in a slideshow or a presentation or something like that could work very well.
Yeah. Subtitles, a little bit of animation go a long way.
So let's wrap up, Ethan. There are very many ways into podcasting and very many reasons why people do podcasts. Is it about community? Is it about numbers? Is it about engagement? Is it about promoting your business? There's so many different goals that people have and so many different ways to measure that success.
Yeah, and I think the big thing I want people to take away is, what is the goal of your podcast? What's going to keep you going when it becomes real work? You know, because even the most fun and interesting and engaging piece of podcasting is still ultimately going to require you to put in work. And once you're a couple episodes deep, you're going to need something to motivate you beyond just the act of recording it itself.
It's got to do with how do you create content that touches somebody in such a direct way that they will want to engage with you and start a conversation. And I think if your podcast is a conversation starter, then you are well on your way to success. I think people like Nicole, who talked about the engagement and building a community, that's really what we want to do as podcasters, as sound artists in a way. You know, it's not just listen to it, switch it off and go and have a bath and get on with your day. But it intrigues me so much what you said about podcasting or about business or about some crime that I really want to ask you a question or two, and I want to share my experience and maybe, you know, get advice or something. And maybe there's other people within the group that I'm part of here, this community, that could help me, that I could be friends with, that I could communicate, even if they're on the other side of the world. And I think that is the true measure of podcasting success.
And of course, if you are interested in starting a podcast of your own, you can check out our website, baird.media. The links will be in the description of this episode. And you can also check out our book, Become a Podmaster, Everything You Need to Know to Master the Art of Podcasting. You can search for it up on Amazon, Takealot, or just on our website.